time now for the Saturday Morning News, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft Furniture. The Fairfield area weather calling for sunny skies today, a high in the mid-40s, clouds increasing tonight, a low in the mid-30s. I'm Darren Caudill reporting. Fairfield Kiwanis Club Christmas Parade and lighting of the Christmas tree on the Wayne County Courthouse lawn are scheduled to start at 4:30 today. Phyllis Hilliard Wilkes is the parade's Grand Marshal, and the parade is expected to reach the southeast corner of the courthouse square as the lighting ceremony is wrapping up. Parade Chairperson Jamie Jones says there will be prejudging during lineup this year at 3:30, and she also has award categories.
We have the Grand Marshal's Choice, then we have three judges that will be judging the others. We have, for each category, there will be a winner, and then also there's the best use of lights.
After the parade comes to a close, Tom Tucker says planners will meet to discuss how to improve it for next year.
And we try to improve on the parade every year. Okay. We meet after the parade as a club and talk about the things that were negative, the things that were positive, and right. Not necessarily negative, but what could we do to improve to make it a little more special the next year.
The parade will be broadcast on 104.9 WFIW, and a video stream will also be available on WFIWradio.com. The broadcast is sponsored by Fairfield National Bank. Gruen Vocal Studio and Studio H will hold a show titled Together for Christmas after the parade in the Old Center Street Gym. Doors will open at 6 and the show will begin at 7. Admission will be $10 per person, and children 5 and under can attend for free. Concessions will be available at the show's intermission. More news after this break.
Post Frame Buildings continue to pop up all over the area. And at Graber Post Buildings, they've been putting up buildings for over 40 years. Garages, pole barns, storage buildings, workshops, apartments, even indoor basketball courts, and some of the most attractive commercial buildings in the state. Every job is specific and unique to your wants and your needs. Graber Post also has packages for contractors and do-it-yourselfers. So for your next building or roofing project, call for a free quote at Graber Post, 800-264-5013.
Ring in the new year at the 12th annual National New Year's Eve Watermelon Drop. It's been touted as one of America's top 10 quirky things to do on New Year's Eve. Bring your family or your whole party to Patrick Henry Drive in Vincennes. Near midnight, watch the giant 500-pound watermelon being hoisted up for the countdown to 2020. At the stroke of midnight, the Knox County watermelons drop to the splatform and the huge fireworks show celebrating the new year begins.
70-year-old Carmi resident Clifford S. Champion was arrested Thursday by White County authorities on a charge of possession of child pornography. According to police reports, the White County Sheriff's Department, Carmi Police Department, and Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force executed a search warrant at Champion's home after a lengthy investigation into child pornography possession. As a result of the investigation and warrant, Champion was taken into custody and transported to the White County Jail. His bond was set at $10,000. The Illinois State Police Division of Internal Investigation arrested Trooper 29-year-old James T. Dirks of Greenville, Illinois, on Friday on one count each of aggravated criminal sexual abuse and criminal sexual assault. This past Tuesday, state police say they received a request for assistance from the Vandalia City Police Department regarding allegations of criminal sexual assault made against Dirks. The reported incidents occurred in 2016 during Dirks' employment at the Vandalia Community High School prior to his employment with the state police. ISP agents conducted a thorough investigation into allegations made by a victim who stated that she and Dirks had inappropriate sexual contact on multiple occasions during his employment at the Vandalia Community High School. The investigation then led to another victim who alleged she also had inappropriate sexual contact with Dirks on multiple occasions. On Friday, ISP agents took Dirks into custody, and he was immediately relieved of duty. He's being held at the Fayette County Jail pending charges. Fayette County State's Attorney Joshua C. Morrison, formally charged Dirks with one count each of aggravated criminal sexual abuse and criminal sexual assault. His bond was set at $1 million. Dirks has been employed with the state police since June of last year. USDA Under Secretary for Farm Production and Conservation Bill Northey spent some time Wednesday in White County speaking with local soil conservationists, Farm Bureau members, Farm Credit representatives, and FSA employees, a project completed by John Pat Dart on his farm north of Carmi. Was recommended for Mr. Northey and his staff to visit on his tour across Illinois on Wednesday. Under Secretary Northey discussed different soil conservation practices with the group and went over some of the new items in the farm bill. Under Secretary Northey is an Iowa native, where he farmed with his family and served as Iowa Secretary of Agriculture until he was nominated to be Under Secretary of Agriculture for Farm and Foreign Agricultural Services by President Donald Trump in September of 2017. He oversees the Farm Service Agency, the Natural Resources Conservation Service, and the Risk Management Agency. Illinois school districts will have the opportunity to implement learning opportunities where students would be required to complete schoolwork while at home when inclement weather keeps them from being in class. Commonly referred to as e-learning days, opinions and policies are varied from district to district. Moroa Forsyth schools in Macon County are among those that say they will embrace the opportunity. Their superintendent is Dr. John Allmeyer.
Learning is occurring beyond our walls and beyond the time of the day that we're here. When we're not here, why wouldn't we? We're going to just continue doing what we're doing because our teachers interact with our kids and kids interact with each other around the learning objectives and do activities, do all sorts of things.
Hayworth schools are also implementing an e-learning policy. The district was among those that were able to pilot the program last year, and their superintendent, Lisa Taylor, believes it gives students more of a voice and choice with assignments.
I think the biggest benefit out of all of it, in my opinion, is that it gives students more voice and choice with assignments because you're required to offer paper options also. And so our teachers will have three or four choices of activities kids can do to learn the material. So something maybe that better fits their learning style. Our teachers are also doing a good job of using video. So recording themselves and sending it out to families to teach a concept or linking stuff to video to help support. We've come a long way since it began.
Some policies around e-learning will take effect as soon as January 1st, 2020. The first firearm deer hunt numbers were down statewide, according to DNR spokesperson Rachel Torbert. She notes several factors could be at play.
We did wrap up the first firearm season was the weekend right there before Thanksgiving, so it fell a little bit later this year. And if you haven't seen, we did get our numbers back, and we're a little bit lower this year. Illinois hunters harvested 50,173 deer during that first firearm season, which is a little bit lower than it was last year. And really, you know, a lot of things can factor into that. We had beautiful weather, but warmer weather means that maybe deer weren't moving quite as much. Obviously, we're in a rural area, an agricultural area, and I don't know if you've noticed, but there's still corn in the field. Those guys are working really hard to get that out, but that also means there's additional places for deer to hide out. And we kind of missed the peak of rut right there, you know. So there are some factors that build into why those numbers are lower, but we were a little bit lower here during this first season. But we have another firearm season coming up. That'll be this weekend, actually, the 5th through the 8th, if you still have tags and you want to head out. We certainly hope everybody goes out and has an enjoyable firearm season this weekend.
The first firearm season wasn't without incidents in the fields. Torbert says they had reports of hunters falling from tree stands and accidental shootings. She says that's a reminder for hunters to be safe when they go out.
We have firearm season coming up. We want everybody to enjoy themselves. But this last round of firearm season, we did have some accidents. We had a couple of accidental shootings. We had a couple of guys who fell out of tree stands. And that just, you know, we hate to hear that, but that does serve as a stark reminder that you have to be paying attention and you have to be safe. So make sure that those tree stands are secured properly. You've checked it. Mm-hmm. You check your steps to make sure that they're attached properly. They aren't slick. They're sturdy. You're using a fall arrest system. So if you would happen to slip and fall, that's going to catch you before you hit the ground. Make sure you know where your cell phone is. Even if you don't have great cell phone service, we want to know, you want to be within arm's reach of that cell phone so that we can get a hold of you and tell folks where you're going. If you're going out, make sure your family knows where you're going, because if they call us and they can't find you, that gives us a good starting point rather than just, I know he went out this morning. And the other thing is, make sure you got that blaze orange on, blaze pink, and that you are sure of your target before you fire.
Randolph County's 1,553 deer taken were a state high during the first firearm season, but that total is down by almost 100 deer taken from the year prior. The second and final firearm season runs through Sunday. December 7th is a day that will live in infamy. 78 years ago today, Pearl Harbor was attacked by the Japanese, and it marked the start of the United States' involvement in World War II. John Kerrigan, president of the World War II Illinois Veterans Committee, says by attending a remembrance ceremony in your area, you can show respect to veterans, past and present.
The 78th anniversary this year of Pearl Harbor, it's a great way to show veterans in general that you care, not just World War II veterans, but there's plenty of useful younger military out there that do participate. It's a great way to show them that you appreciate their service.
Almost 1 million men from Illinois fought in World War II, and more than 17,000 were killed in battle. The Fairfield Community High School varsity scholastic team claimed second place recently in a Southern Illinois Academic Conference meet at Herron. Fairfield claimed wins over Herron and Salem and lost a close match to Centralia. They also lost to Carbondale. Answering toss-ups for Fairfield were Jason Wright with 16, Jalise Kenny with 4, Alex Gonzalez and Carly Taylor with 3 each, and Tegan Rule with 2. Also participating for FCHS were Phoebe August, Emily Burbank, Bryce Garner, Claire Kakak, Cody Nobles, and Xavier Tullis. According to Wayne City Community Unit School District Superintendent Myron Cottle, the high school will hold an open house on Saturday, December 21st from noon to 2 p.m. for its new ag building. A ribbon-cutting ceremony will be held at noon. Superintendent Cottle says the school will have refreshments as well as helpers to answer questions during the tour of the new facility. And Wayne City's third annual Christmas parade is scheduled for next Saturday, December 14th. It'll begin at 7. The parade marshals will be Tom and Roxy Blasdell, who recently retired from Shoe Creek Pharmacy. Before the parade begins, the public will be able to visit Santa and Mrs. Claus at the Wayne City Library. Photos will be taken, treat bags will be available for children, and hot chocolate will be provided for all beginning at 5:30. In addition, people will be able to register for gift certificates at various businesses in the coming week, and a drawing for the prizes will take place at Barnard's auction stand immediately following the parade. The boil order that was in effect for residents at 1102, 1104, and 1106 West Delaware, along with West Delaware to Leninger Road on the west side of Southwest 11th and all of Sheffield Drive, has been lifted. Residents in those areas need no longer boil water for human consumption. That's the news. Area deaths are next.
No more suffering through repair bills. No more just plain unreliable washers and dryers. Speed Queen is now offering a 10-year parts and labor warranty on all its home laundry products at Rush Appliance and Furniture Company. Our Speed Queen washer and dryer pairs start at $1,700 at Rush Appliance, and you can choose from top loading, front loading, and stacking. So come see me, Sean Rush, for superior performing laundry products with 10-year warranties and superior customer service and support at Rush Appliance and Furniture Company in downtown Fairfield.
This is Ethan Kaiser with Trust Bank. Legacy is defined as something received by a predecessor. To the wealth management team at Trust Bank, your legacy is an important piece of your financial plan. We understand how hard you have worked for your assets and how generous you are. Trust Bank wants to help you create a plan that allows you to make a lasting contribution to a charitable organization of your choice. We truly want your legacy to be something that lives on forever. Give Trust Bank's wealth management team a call at 618-395-4311 today.
Area deaths are brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 75-year-old McLeansboro resident William J. Chubb Rubenacker died Thursday at his home. He was a salesman at the Case IH dealership. Surviving are his wife, Teresa, a son, Brady Rubenacker, a daughter, Bethany Merbarger, and son, Cody Rubenacker, five grandchildren, and a brother, Dean Rubenacker. Visitation for William J. Chubb Rubenacker will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Monday at the Harry Funeral Home, with burial in Mount Olivet Cemetery at McLeansboro. Memorials may be given to St. Jude and will be accepted at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro. 80-year-old McLeansboro resident Mary Juanita Dale died at 6:50 Thursday morning at St. Louis University Hospital. She was a cook at the McLeansboro Healthcare and Rehab Center in McLeansboro. Survivors include a daughter, Deborah Dale of McLeansboro, two sons, Delbert Jean Dale of Sugarloaf, Pennsylvania, and Oscar Dale of McLeansboro, two sisters, Shirley Ingram of McLeansboro and Brenda Langford of McLeansboro, 10 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Mary Juanita Dale will be at noon Sunday at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Burial in Old Springer Cemetery with Reverend Robert Seafried officiating. Visitation from 10 a.m. Sunday until noon at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro, which is in charge of the arrangements. 84-year-old Karina Laura Jean Skelton died at Good Samaritan Hospital in Mount Vernon Thursday. Surviving are her husband, John, children Tanya M. Skelton of Houston, Texas, Jackie L. Benneman of Arnold, Maryland, and John Eric Skelton of Hanover, Maryland, and five grandchildren. She was an accomplished pianist and singer, performing at church, weddings, and many social events for most of her life. 74-year-old Glenda K. Jones died November 16th at Shannondale in Maryville, Tennessee. Surviving are her husband Daniel of Maryville, a sister Mary Sanders of Knoxville, Tennessee, a sister-in-law Diane Carlson of Las Vegas, Nevada, three nephews, one niece, and several cousins. A memorial service for Glenda Jones will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday at the Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro. Burial at Garrison Cemetery. Memorial donations can be made to the American Cancer Society, Alzheimer's Association, or the Parkinson's Foundation. The Harry Funeral Home in McLeansboro is in charge of the local arrangements. 75-year-old Fairfield resident Sandra K. Henson died Wednesday at Linda E. White Hospice House in Evansville. She was a field office manager for the American Heart Association for 37 years. Surviving are her father, Andrew Mayo of Fairfield, a daughter, Tiffany Lyons of Fairfield, sisters Diane Bennett of Xenia and Lisa Konopasek of Fairfield, one granddaughter and several nieces and nephews. Funeral services for Sandra Henson will be at 1:30 p.m. Sunday at the Providence General Baptist Church near Samdale Lake. Visitation from 3 to 5 this evening at the Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home in Sisney. Burial in Mount Pleasant Cemetery. Memorials may be given to the family and will be accepted at the Hosselton Meredith Funeral Home, which is in charge of the arrangements. A reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Darren Cottle reporting.
You saved, you scrimped, and finally that hot new car is yours, and you're in love. Just make sure she's insured with the best auto coverage you can find. Talk to your local Pekin insurance agent about complete auto coverage, and don't forget to ask about the variety of discounts available for your sweet ride. Request a quote at PekinInsurance.com. In Flora and Sisney, contact Bill Atwood at 662-7000 and put their Beyond the Expected service to work for you.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring except for my mouse. The computers were lined by the chimney with care, knowing that faster wind internet services will soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, with visions of fiber danced in their heads. Wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from all of us at Wabash Telephone Cooperative and Wabash Independent Networks."
And now, the top five reasons to drive for Best Way Express. Number five, free health clinic. Number four, paid holidays. Number three, $1,800 annual safety bonus. Number two, no hazmat, no jack stand moves, and higher mounted airlines for easier access. And the number one reason, you will be home daily. Best Way Express is now hiring for multiple home daily positions. Contact Best Way at 1-833-BESTWAY or bestwayexpress.com.
Here is a look at the Fairfield area weather. Today, sunny skies with a high of about 46. Could see some locations may get to 50. Tonight, an increase in clouds, low of 34. Sunday, cloudy, high of 53. Monday, an 80% chance of rain, high of 56. But the streak of 40 to 50 degree temperatures for highs, it gets snapped. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, high of 33, Wednesday sunny, high of 29, and Thursday partly sunny, high of 35. Yesterday's high in Fairfield was 51, our low this morning was 27, and currently in Fairfield underneath, sunny skies out there, it's right about 30.